Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody joining in on this podcast episode. My name is Jennifer Turcotte, and I want to introduce to you In the Buff, The Naked Truth of a Female in a Male-Dominated Industry. Is this going to be a feminist podcast? Is it going to be mainly focused around females? Absolutely not. I just kind of want to give you my perspective and, you know, kind of like my situations, my advice, just sometimes the day-to-day. So welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you for joining, and let's get into it. So just a quick little introduction on myself. My name is Jennifer Turcotte. I own a business called Cosmetology. I've been detailing for about 22 years. Started my business in 2014, so we're looking at about 7 years now. And, you know, I've kind of gone through a lot of situations, so I want to kind of help with any sort of advice that I can give to you through those situations. Kind of like our roadmap for this podcast is I want to talk to you about, well, I guess you could say that the topic of this podcast is don't rape your customers. What I mean by that is there's a lot of things I mean by that. Well, where do I start? There is a lot of things that I have learned over the 7 years of getting into ceramic coatings and getting into, you know, detailing. One huge thing is I think that consultations are very important when kind of trying to find out what's best for that person and their vehicle. And I guess when I say don't rape your customers, this could kind of go for anything that you do. When somebody comes into when somebody comes into your shop or your business and you have them asking questions because maybe they're not too familiar, they'll come into the shop, they'll say, hey, I'm interested in a ceramic coating. Well, a ceramic coating, I've learned, is not for everybody. So you kind of want to introduce to them what a ceramic coating is all about and, you know, how to maintain it, because it is a big investment. If they're going to be taking their car through the butcher shop car wash, I certainly wouldn't advise them a ceramic coating unless they completely decide to change their washing habits. So there's a couple different ways that I go about this. When somebody inquires about a paint correction, a detail, or a ceramic coating, the best thing for me to do is to suggest to them to come into the ceramic, or come, fuck. The best thing that I suggest is for them to come into the shop for a consultation. This kind of helps me gauge, you know, what they're expecting, the options that I can go over, the pricing. If they have any questions on what my process is, I'm huge on educating because education is very important to me. I want to make sure that people understand what is going into the whole process of the detail and what they're going to get out of it. So when they schedule a consultation, I'll have them show up with their vehicle. You know, maybe beforehand I'll ask them if I have time, otherwise I just tell them to, you know, show up at the shop with their vehicle. But the question or series of questions that I go over when I'm, you know, typically walking out to the vehicle with them is I will ask them, you know, how long have you had the vehicle? How do you, or when's the last time it's been detailed? Who was it detailed by? How do you maintain it and how do you plan on maintaining it? So the reason for those series of questions is, and you know, not a lot of people like to consider themselves like a detailing doctor or a vehicle doctor, but I do. You know, everybody's different. I'm not going to sit there and knock anybody that thinks that, you know, it's not how you should look at it. But, you know, when you go into the doctor's office, you know, you let them know what's been going on, why are you coming into the shop, or why you're going into, you know, that doctor's appointment. What are your symptoms, if you smoke, if you exercise, you know, that sort of thing. So when I'm asking those series of questions to people, how long have they had the vehicle, who's, you know, the last person that's been detailing it, when's the last time it's been detailed, is, you know, if I got somebody that comes, you know, in with a vehicle and they say that they've had it for 8 years, it's never been detailed, they wash it in the butcher shop car wash, I mean, I can only expect that their car is going to feel like a cat's tongue. There's going to be a lot of rail dust all over. What is rail dust? You know, rail dust is going to be that contamination that gets into the pores of the paint and looks like little tiny rust spots all over the vehicle. You can mostly see it on lighter colored vehicles. And, you know, you can pretty much feel it for the most part when I say it feels like a cat's tongue. That could also be tar on the vehicle or something of that nature. So, you know, if it hasn't been detailed for a while, you know, they might even say, you know, it's not that bad. And typically from my experience, the people that say it's not that bad, honey, it's bad. So asking them how long they've had the vehicle, you know, when's the last time it's been detailed, by who. When I ask by who, you know, if they say that they went to the dealership, you know, there's kind of like you're rolling a dice there. There's a 50-50 shot of if it's going to be good or if it's going to be kind of like a hack job. You can't expect every dealership to find somebody that's going to want to get paid $10, $12, $14 an hour that's actually going to give a shit about, you know, their work. So that's when I kind of, you know, I kind of roll the dice when I'm about to walk up to a car and it's been done by a dealership. If it's been done by a private party, most of the time, yeah, I'm rolling the dice a little bit, but I can almost assume that these people, that it's a private party, they're going to be doing a good job because most likely it's their own business and, you know, they care about their reputation. I hope. If it is a, you know, a full service car wash detail center, also kind of rolling the dice. I don't know if they're using a rotary buffer or an orbital or DA buffer. The rotary buffer, that is where the buffer just kind of spins, you know, in a circle. If it's not finished out properly, you're going to get what looks like those holograms, or it looks like the paint's dancing. You know, that's what it's going to look like. You're going to walk up to it and you're going to be like, oh my God, that is some art. That's some art. And for the most part, I'd say they mostly get out all the scratches, but if they're putting a wool pad on that sucker, I don't know how much clear coat they took off. A paint gauge is nice to have, so you can kind of see the depth of the clear coat left on the paint. What else? How do they maintain it, and how do they plan on maintaining it? If they maintain it by going through the butcher shop car wash, which they think is a soft touch, that is not soft. It is, you don't know if you got Bill in front of you with his mudder truck, you know, cleaning up all that dirt that's on there and sand. And then you're going to go through that wash. They don't change out those microfiber or those cloths every single time. You are getting what, you know, came off of Bill's truck, maybe a light rinse of getting some of that stuff off of those fibers, and it's going to slap really hard onto your paint. Those things aren't necessarily soft. So, you know, there's that aspect. And then also when it goes to, you know, if they say, yeah, I go through the touchless. Touchless can also be damaging in the fact of if you go in the triple foam, rainbow bubbles, that can be high detergents and acids that are getting sprayed onto your car. And most of the time I see it on plastics of the vehicle that get stained. That's something that I would kind of, you know, if somebody's inquiring about a ceramic coating, I'm going to kind of warn them about both of those car washes that can damage the ceramic coating. If there's somebody that washes their vehicle and they love to wash their vehicle, 100%, I'm going to, you know, chat with them about a ceramic coating, because the biggest benefit about having a ceramic coating is the ease of maintenance. So washing your vehicle will definitely cut down on time. The coating creates less surface tension, so nothing really wants to stick to it. If you're going on, like, let's say the lowest setting on a touchless wash, you know, that's when I would say, hey, yeah, go through the touchless wash, because it is going to make it so that, you know, the debris is going to spray off a lot easier. But I still definitely promote to people that like to wash their car themselves. I'll tell them about the ceramic coating, because I mean, if whenever I wash a ceramic coated vehicle, I geek out over it just because it's pretty cool. So that's kind of, you know, what I do in my consultations is I will go over, you know, how they wash their vehicle. I'll look over their vehicle. I'll give them two prices. The reason why I give them two prices, I give them a light and heavy price. So most people, if they are, you know, we as detailers, we see what other people don't see. So it kind of depends on if the customer is somebody that, you know, is 6 feet away from the vehicle at all times, like looking it over for scratches. You know, if people, and you got to know what your worth is. If you just give out one number and you go full bore, getting all those scratches out, you don't know if they're going to go through the butcher shop car wash. I'm sorry that I keep reframing to it as that, but I mean, that's simply, like, in my opinion, what it is. And I'm brutally honest with my customers. I'm not going to sugarcoat shit. If they go through the butcher shop car wash, they just pissed away money. The number one thing that I feel telling my customer when doing the consultation is saying, hey, I'm looking out for what's best for you and your vehicle. I don't want you to piss away any money. I mean, do you like to get, you know, taken advantage of and somebody telling you need something and you don't really need it? No, I mean, that's never good. That's what I kind of like go back to. Don't rape your customers. Don't just take their keys. Don't educate them on how to maintain something that they're investing, you know, their hard work money into, and it just goes to shit. That's just not really fair. So going back to the light and the heavy, you know, there's the people that are very, you know, meticulous. They don't want any scratches on their vehicle. They wash it themselves. Maybe they don't have the money to invest in a ceramic coating. They're just going to, you know, continue to wash it very carefully. You know, that's when I would suggest a full detail, getting as many scratches as I can possibly out. There's the light detail where people, you know, and sometimes people just come in and they're like, yeah, I want a detail. Well, sometimes people don't even expect like a buffer being touched to it. So there's those people that want, you know, just a really good wash on the outside and getting the interior cleaned out. There's also a light detail where they do want it polished up. They want that paint to pop again. So that's why, you know, I guess two options. And then if they're not even looking for that second, like the lighter option, they're just looking for, like I said, the, you know, exterior good wash and an interior clean. So I guess you could say, like, I do have three prices because I am, like I said, I'm looking out for what's best for them and their vehicle and their expectations. So I throw out the light and the heavy detail. Because there's also people like, I mean, there's the people that just want a light buff. They stand back from their whole vehicle and they're like, wow, like this thing is glossy again. It's protected. You know, that's what they're looking for. So I'll throw out my three different prices. Most of the time, let's say the car is pretty hacked up. You know, most of the time my base price is about $500 to $600. And then when you get to the higher end paint corrections, I mean, it can go up to $1,000 or $1,200. I had a guy that just brought his Bentley in. It was pretty hacked up. It did feel like a cat's tongue. It took me a while to do the decontamination on it, which is the iron and fallout remover and, the clay bar remover or clay bar. And to kind of, we'll go into kind of better explaining the iron and fallout remover and clay bar, maybe in another segment, because I would assume maybe mostly detailers are going to be listening to this podcast, and I'm pretty sure you understand what both of those are. But if not, maybe in the future we will have a, you know, I'll throw that out there too. Or maybe I'll get into it later. I don't know. This is my first episode. I'm just spitting shit. So the vehicle, I threw out a couple different prices. The first price for a light detail, just because of how long the decontamination process took me, and that was ranging anywhere from about $700 to $800. It is a lot of surface area. So that's why the $700 to $800. My shop rate is around $100 an hour. So I think about how many hours I'm going to be putting into this thing. For the higher end detail, that one ranged at $1,100. So the guy ended up going with the $1,100 detail. It was just an exterior detail. When I do my details, I will do the exterior, and then I will also, you know, vacuum, wipe down, clean up the interior, because the last thing I want is for somebody to get in their vehicle and it's clean on the outside and it's still messy and dusty on the inside. So that's kind of the roundabout. That's about the roundabout pricing, the consultation. Also, I want to make sure that I'm educating my customer on how to maintain it. What I ended up doing, and I'm more than happy to share this with other people too, on my YouTube channel, I have a 12-minute long professional video on how to maintain your ceramic coating and paint correction. Do I feature some IGL products in there? Absolutely, because those are the products that I like to use. I don't really care what you use. If it works for you, it works for you. I'm not going to try and persuade you to use IGL. Yeah, you're going to hear me talk about it, but that's just what I like to use. There are a few things that I use that are not IGL. I'm not afraid to talk about that too. Detailer to DIY to enthusiast. But you're going to, you know, come to find out that IGL is pretty much my main squeeze. And yes, I am an IGL representative and trainer. If you are interested in learning more, I mean, yeah, I'll take the time to, you know, chat with you about it. But that's not really what I'm going to try and promote on this. This is just me freestyling, me talking, me trying to help out. But in that video of how to maintain your ceramic coating in detail, you know, it's going to go over the two bucket system, the grit guards, the wash mitt, the drying towel, and then some products that I actually have. I have a retail section now in my shop because, and I do find it's very important for you to have a retail section in your shop. Do I suggest matching, you know, the products that you use to the products that you have in store? I mean, yeah. To kind of put it in words that I was told to me, you know, you don't really go and buy a Lamborghini and then take it to Honda for an oil change. Let's just kind of like, you know, keep things together unless, you know, when I talk about that, I kind of talk about that like ceramic coating wise. If you're going to be using a certain product, you know, you kind of want to match it up with those, you know, maintenance products. So now I find that, and going back to, you know, having a retail section, if people, when they get their vehicles maintained and they invest that money in it, you know, they want to kind of keep that maintained properly because, like I said, they're going to be pissing away money if they just go, and some people just like to piss away money. I mean, that's just how the world works. But if they are going to buy some products to maintain their vehicle, if it's not with you, it's going to be somewhere else. So why leave that money on the table? Am I right? Education on how to maintain the vehicle. Yep, very important. That's why I have that video. And then going over what the process is. Yeah, I guess let's get into, you know, the iron and fallout remover and the clay bar. How I kind of look at it is, and when I explain it to people, because sometimes people don't really understand I don't like to get too technical with them. I really like to, and you'll notice that I like to relate in ways for people to understand better. Cosmetology itself, that's kind of based around the salon perspective because I feel that there are so many different treatments and procedures that you can do to yourself at the spa or the salon. I mean, it kind of goes with detailing. And there's a whole bunch of different references that I'll get into. But for one, when it comes to the iron and fallout remover and the clay barring, I kind of imagine you gotta know that your paint is very porous. So when it's going down the road and there's those elements and contaminants that are getting flown up onto the paint, if you don't have that protection on there, you know, it's going to get into the pores of the paint and it's going to start to grow, which it's going to be a little rough kind of from the iron stintered in there, it's going to get contaminated into the pores of the paint, which is going to grow that rail dust. Like I said, the rail dust looks like little orange dots. Those can grow into bigger orange dots. They look like rust. So I kind of consider the contaminants like splinters in your skin. So what the clay bar is going to do, or kind of like, you know, dead skin on your paint, I just kind of consider the clay bar like a exfoliator. So it's going to get that layer of contamination to come off of the paint to make it nice and smooth again. So when I exfoliate my skin, you know, in the morning or at night with the little micro abrasion, I mean, that's making my skin all of a sudden feel nice and smooth and shiny again. What the iron and fallout remover is, it's going to get what's in the pores of the paint and it's going to get it to bleed out. So whatever sort of contamination is still stuck into the pores of the paint that you didn't get off the surface with the clay bar, it's going to get it to bleed out. Most iron and fallout remover, I want to say maybe all iron and fallout remover, tends to make the bleeding out process look a purple in color. So that's kind of what goes in with the decontamination process. there's a couple different ways. Well, there's one little tip that I like to use. For a while, I used to use stuff that was called clay bar lube. What the clay bar is it kind of looks like a little, you can use clay bar, you can use a clay bar mitt, you can use a clay bar towel. There's ones that you can put on actual buffers to use to make it quicker. I use either the clay bar or the clay bar towel or the clay towel, because the clay bar actually will get into certain areas that the clay towel won't. The clay bar will get into, well, most of the time I debadge cars when I'm doing detailing because I want to get the scratches that are out from underneath. But if you're trying to get into little, you know, in between where panels meet or down by the rocker, in between the rocker and where the front fender meets, sometimes, or in the back window too, where the back window and like the top of the, you know, panel meet, there's, you can get some little rail dust in there. So that's going to, I'm not going to be able to get in there with a towel or a mitt, I'm just going to say. So those are, the clay bar looks like a silly putty. It's like a light form of wet sanding. So, I'm going to finish the whole decontamination process, but then I'm going to get into something else that goes into clay barring. But when it comes to the decontamination process, those are the two things that I do, is I will clay bar an iron and fallout remover. During the clay barring process, you can buy clay bar lube, or what I use is I just use a little bit of water and car wash soap, or I'll actually do it when I'm doing my, you know, my washing process. So my whole decontamination wash, you know, I can just get it done in the wash bay and, you know, it'll be about an hour. I'll do the clay bar, iron and fallout remover. I did buy a undercarriage sprayer that attaches to my pressure washer. It's all by MTM Hydro Parts and Belosi Performance. They are actually located, they're local to Minnesota. They're in Savage. With having an IGL account, it's nice because I do get a 15% discount. To get an IGL account, you do have to be an established detailing business. But if you're trying to look where to find that, it's at MTM Hydro Parts. The main guy that I talk to, his name is Rob Bridgeworth. He is an excellent guy. You can find him on Instagram. It's bob.sugar. Hi, Bob. Anyway, so after I get done doing all those things, I make sure to spray in the wheel wells very well, just because it could be dirt, grass, and all that sort of stuff. I typically kind of like to spray it out until the water is almost running clear. I'm a little OCD. So after I get done doing that wash, I'll bring it in the detail bay, and then I'm going to kind of start getting into my detailing process, and I can always go over that too in another episode. One thing that I do want to touch on when it comes to clay barring is there's some, and this is my opinion, but I do see some people that, you know, offer a clay bar and seal. And that's all fine when you're trying to like make the paint feel smooth again, but you got to understand, if you're going to clay bar a vehicle, you are going to be putting micro scratching in that vehicle. So it's just, I mean, if anybody wants to reach out and chat with me about it and let me know, like, I want to see with a light on it before and after you clay bar a vehicle, and see if, like, I mean, am I the only one that just sees all these micro scratches? Clay barring is a light form of wet sanding. You're going to put light scratches in there. If I'm going to be putting light scratches in there, I'm going to want to be polishing afterwards, at least a quick light polish. It's just my two cents. What else? What else do I get into this episode? I am going to let you know. Maybe I should have talked about this in the beginning, but there are, I talked about what I mostly wanted to talk about in the beginning, and maybe the beginning of every episode, I will kind of throw a little bit more out there on what this podcast is going to be about. I don't know if I'm going to have other people on this podcast. For the most part, as being an IGL representative and trainer, I am helping people throughout. I mean, sometimes it's around the world, but mostly, you know, in the United States. But there are topics that come up all the time. You know, the people will ask me, for instance, yesterday, people will ask me what ceramic coatings I will put on chrome. People will ask me, hey, have you ever had the scenario where people will come in and, you know, I just ceramic coated the vehicle last week and now they want to put a vinyl sticker on. You know, in that sort of case, that's when it's kind of your responsibility to tell them before they get the ceramic coating, hey, just so you know, you know, and if people want to get a ceramic coating, I always let them know, if you want to get a clear bra on here or PPF, paint protection film, you're going to want to wait before you put the ceramic coating on there because, like I said, the coating's going to create less surface tension. Nothing's going to really want to stick to it. So if you put a, you know, a clear bra on there, it's probably going to start peeling up. If you want to put a vinyl sticker on there, you know, I'll coat vehicles and they end up going to the track, for instance. They'll put on a vinyl, you know, number on the side and on the hood. Right after they go to the track session, I'll be pressure washing that car. And that number, you know, I'll get the pressure washer on like a certain corner of it and that number will just fly off. So it's kind of your responsibility to make sure that you're going over this with your customer, telling them, you know, hey, if you want to get a clear bra, if you want to get any decals on there, you got to know that it's not going to want to stick. So I guess this episode is pretty much about educating your customer and also knowing your responsibilities and, you know, kind of building that relationship, you know, build that relationship with your customer. You want them to trust you. You want them to be, I mean, I like building that customer relation. I like educating my customers. They, you know, they'll go and tell their other friends and their people and, you know, hey, I went to this girl, she knows her shit and she's not trying to rape you. I mean, I don't think that they say that, but you know, they know that I'm looking out for them. Even if they, and there's some people that come to me and they'll ask me questions, I might not be in the right price point for them. But you know what? I will refer them over to people that I do trust and I know that they do good work. And that's another thing, and it speaks volume because, you know, not everybody can afford your prices. When it comes to kind of relating to certain things, cosmetology, okay, the salon perspective. My price might not be the cheapest, but the thing is it's like going into a salon, okay? When you go into a salon, you're going to have different types of tiers of, what's it called, stylists. So you get people that are fresh out of the cosmetology school, and those are going to be relatively, well, a lot cheaper than the elite professional and professional stylist. So you can go to somebody that, you know, you can tell them what you want. You're more than likely going to get what you want. And then you can go to the people that have been doing it for, you know, a decade or two, and you're going to get what you want, but not only what you want, but maybe they're going to make you look even better than you ever thought that you could be. They're going to give you this new look. They're going to suggest you all, you know, how to maintain it because they know their shit. You know, my boyfriend, for instance, he goes to Great Clips. That's his thing. He just likes a little quick cut, and that's fine. There's some people that will come to your shop and they're like, hey, you know, I just want to spend about $200 and I want to get it cleaned inside and out. Yeah, there's people out there that'll do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then there's people, I mean, shops like me, where I've been doing this for 22 years. I want to make sure that I provide that 5-star experience for somebody and also go above and beyond their expectations, educating them and, like I said, giving them more than what they ever thought that they could get. And that's kind of how I look at that. When it comes to, you know, explaining what I do to paint, especially to other females, because sometimes, you know, and it's not even just other females, there's going to be people that, you know, are like, oh, so you just detail cars, you just clean cars, you just wash cars. No, it's a little bit more extensive than that. So, for instance, the best way for me to explain to a female, you know, I'd say about 90% of females go and get their nails done. How I kind of put it is, and I'll kind of like grab their hands. Well, I mean, sometimes, but I'm like, hey, you go and get your nails done, correct? And they're like, oh yeah, you know, all the time or whatever. I'm like, you know, when they rip off that acrylic nail, underneath, it looks pretty nasty. It's pretty rough. and it, you know, kind of flakes up, and it's just, you don't want your nails looking like that, obviously. So with that, you know, when you go to the salon, there's usually that four-sided nail buffer, or they have that little, you know, motorized tool thing. I know, my vocabulary is awesome. They'll use that in different sort of grades. And so that four-sided nail buffer is essentially like what I do to paint. So of course, if your paint is trashy and it's got like a lot of defects in it, I'm going to want to bring that paint level down to where, you know, pretty much the lowest defect is, and I'm going to polish it out, or, you know, changing every single side of that four-sided nail buffer to where, you know, the last one is where it polishes out and it's stupid shiny. Then, you know, like when you're at the nail salon, you get different levels of protection, or kind of like, how long do you want your nails to last and how strong do you want them? So if you're going with, you know, maybe just a wax or a sealant, I mean, you're kind of looking at like a top coat with nail polish. If you're looking at something like a ceramic coating, I mean, then you're kind of comparing that to a dip, a acrylic, a gel coat. You know, that's going to be longer lasting and more durable. And when I explain it to them and I'm like, you know what, a car is just kind of like a giant nail, I guess. But I mean, that's kind of like how I explain it to people, and better for them to understand. And then they just kind of, it's like a light goes off in their head and they're like, oh my God, like that is so cool. And thank you for explaining it to me like that. When I talk about the decontamination process, like I said, I kind of compare it to doing a exfoliation on your skin, because you're making it nice and smooth again. But you also kind of want to go over it with like a what I use is I use a microabrasion exfoliator, and then I also go over my face with an alcohol wipe. And then it's kind of like going with a ceramic coating too, and a nail polish, because after you get done, you know, getting everything looking all nice, you want to go over it with an alcohol wipe before you put the protection on, so the protection or the moisturizer will stick directly with the surface that you're applying it onto. Hopefully this isn't getting too confusing. If it is, please give me your feedback, because like I said, I'm just freestyling right now. I'm just. So that's kind of like my comparison on a lot of things. And I mean, what do I talk about? I'm really happy that I'm in this industry. It is a very, there's so much to learn, and there is, it's a continuous growth of yourself, and there's so many different ways that you can invest in yourself. There's trainings. I mean, there's trainings all over. There's a lot of amazing companies out there. There's a lot of good support. I'm not going to talk about it this time, just because, I mean, I could go down a wormhole, but when it comes to success and detailing, you want to have your horse blinders on, and you want to just, you know, get from A to B the quickest with the best results. So surrounding yourself with people that want you to succeed as much as you do, that are going to give you that good advice, that aren't going to sugarcoat anything, aren't going to tell you, hey, that's a really bad idea. Maybe get other perspectives. If I were to give, you know, some advice on what I've learned over, you know, well, I'm just probably going to go over like the 7 years since I started my business, because that's when, you know, that's when other people, more people got involved, got more opinions. So if I could give, you know, some words of advice, I would definitely surround, if you want to start a detailing business, or if you're serious about getting into anything, I would suggest surrounding yourself with a core group of mentors, you know, people that you look up to, people that have always been your cheerleaders, you know, not people that are going to sugarcoat shit. They're going to give it to you straight. And, you know, if I didn't have that when I first started, you know, I probably would have wasted a lot of time and money. It would have taken me a lot of time to figure out things on my own, which there are a lot of things that I did figure out on my own, because I was a little stubborn sometimes. And also, I gotta say, being a female in the industry, you don't really want to reach out to somebody and look like a complete dumbass, because they will kind of like, you know, they might make you feel like shit or talk shit about you. So I was always kind of like weary on that. So yeah, there was a lot of testing that I did. But find your core group of mentors. You know, have a, it would be nice to have about a 24 to even, you know, 72-hour rule. So when you start your business and you start succeeding or you start doing cool shit, there are some people that maybe don't have that drive as much as you, or maybe, you know, they just want to get involved. So they want to possibly collab with you or offer a service to you. Well, I would just say from experience, just kind of wait 24 to 72 hours to make that decision. Maybe do a little research, see if it's something that you actually need. Is it going to benefit you? Is it going to bring value to you and your business? And then, you know, I'd say another thing is, and it kind of goes along with this, all goes together. Be careful who you work with. It is very important for you to do your research. There were a few times where people would reach out to me. I thought it was an amazing idea. You know, it was a good pitch. And I kind of agreed to doing something before I even knew about that person. So then all of a sudden that person, or you would possibly post about it, gets out, and all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, you got, you know, kind of really good friends of yours reaching out and saying, hey, it's probably not a good idea. And then, you know, you're like, okay, well, I'll give it a chance. And then you end up getting burned. And I'm telling you, if you can prevent from getting burned, I mean, that's time saved and money saved. And I'm number one, probably one of the main things that I will preach is, I want to help you save time and money, and I also want to help you deliver amazing results. So, you know, be careful who you work with. Do some research. Talk to your mentors. That's all very important. Another thing is self-care. So, yeah, in the beginning of me starting my business, I did just kind of jump into things. I didn't have any money saved. I didn't know exactly how to run a business. I just knew how to work hard and deliver amazing results. And, you know, I just knew I had a work ethic and I was going to go above and beyond. So, yeah, that had a good base. But what's also important is to, you know about the business too. So when you're kind of pushing yourself and you don't know exactly one side of, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, or, you know, like the business side, it will stress you out. So then you're kind of running all over and it's stressing you out, and you just kind of got to find that balance. If you're not good on the business side, do a little research, find somebody that is, and somebody that's willing to help you. And, you know, you just want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and not working 24 hours. I mean, yeah, it happens, especially as being a business owner. Surround yourself. Another word of advice is surround yourself with, like, if you're going to be in a relationship, it is huge, super huge, to have a positive support system. So don't be with somebody that is insecure about what you're doing. Don't be with somebody that's trying to harbor you from what you want to do, what you believe in, what your values are. And, you know, when I got into my business, big mistake, but, you know, I learned is I was with people that were very insecure. I started my business. Yeah. Especially being a female in this industry. You know, it's a male dominated industry. So it fucking sucked, because I had somebody, when I'm just trying to run a business and be respected and just, you know, gain that reputation of being respected and taken seriously, being with somebody that sat there and was questioning my every move, you know, whose car is that? How do you know him? Who's texting you? Who's calling you? You know, I don't have time to deal with that. I don't. I'm here trying to get a car done. Don't be that dark cloud, you know, walking around making me feel like shit for trying to just work hard and grow. It was just so toxic for me. And I just, you know, and another thing is I'm sorry, honey, but I'm not going to stop my business for you. And if you're not going to be supportive of me and what my vision is, get the fuck out of my face. Because I don't have time for it. And, you know, I had to learn the hard way, because I was invested in that relationship. I tried my hardest. I worked 7 days a week. And then I also worked, you know, I had two jobs. I worked 7 days a week at my shop, sometimes working, you know, 16, 22 hours, I remember one time. And then I also bartended at night from 11 o'clock at night till about 5 in the morning. Because I wanted to make that extra money. The other person wasn't making that much money. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if I could sit there and, you know, help that person grow to maybe push them a little bit. But, you know, they were just super insecure. And I just, you know, I found out the hard way because that, then another time, I don't need to get into personal shit. But, you know, that just, it wasn't working out for me. Having somebody that wasn't supporting me and, you know, knowing that I am I'm a very independent person. I want to help, like, you know, I need to be on my own a little bit. I don't want somebody, you know, hovering over me. And then the second relationship, it was another thing. You know, I couldn't even be with, not around that person for like one day. And it's like, yeah, there's going to be some times where I need to be here. I can't just leave at 6, 7 o'clock. That's just not how it is, especially starting your own business. It's your baby. You got to make sure in those, you know, not even just in those first years, but you got to make sure that you're there for them. You want to make sure that they grow up right, that they get a good image, that they are delivering, you know, they're going to just grow up to be something that people like really respect. And I couldn't handle that either. And I needed to separate myself from that. And it's not fair for that person. If they want somebody that's going to be there the whole time, you know, it's just not fair. And they deserve to be with somebody that, you know, maybe compliments them better. After kind of like being on my own for a little bit, you know, I did find somebody that was very secure with themselves, was not, you know, trying to question everything that I was doing, that understand what my vision was and just let me do me. And they were there, you know, on the sidelines to help me if I need be with any advice, to cheer me on and to be the biggest supporter. I got a good girlfriend. She details, and she's got we call the hype man. And, you know, he's an excellent person, and I'm so happy for her that she has that positive support. Everybody needs that, you know, person that's going to compliment them very well. So I find that having that positive, secure support system that gets what you are trying to do and is going to be there if you need them, that's super important. Can't express that enough. That's some of my biggest words of advice. I'm probably going to get to being done with this episode here pretty soon. I hope everybody really likes it. More to come. I definitely want to talk about, you know, the certain scenarios that I deal with every single day. I want to help you, and I hope that this podcast brings, you know, benefits and values, and, you know, you can learn from my mistakes, or, you know, maybe somebody else's. Am I going to call people out specifically? Absolutely not. No. This is a learning podcast. This is me just possibly like bullshitting about certain things too. I hope I make you laugh. If you cry, I hope you cry in a good way, because I am here and I just want to help people out. That's my main goal. That's it. So I hope you really like this podcast. If you want to subscribe or leave a comment or reach out to me directly, you can reach out to me directly. There's a few different ways. I do have Instagram. It's under Carsmatology. I do have a Facebook page. I really apologize if I do not accept your friend request. I am pushing the 5,000 limit. I don't really, unless I kind of meet you in person, then I'll be like, oh yeah, there's Bob. You know, I will accept Bob. Otherwise, you can call me directly. My number is 952-567-3170. If I don't answer, you know, maybe it's past 7 o'clock, I'm recharging my batteries, I'm on the phone, I'm buffing a car, I'm training somebody, this, that, or the other. You know, I apologize for that, but I'll get back to you as soon as I can. You can email me at, you know, I'll probably change it here in the future just because maybe I'm going to have an email that's directly, you know, that's specific for this podcast so I can separate it. You know, I'll probably do that. So, but I guess for this episode, you know what, actually, I'll probably make this podcast. It's going to be called, let's see here, let's make stuff happen. in the buff, the naked truth of a female in a male-dominated industry. Yeah, I think that sounds good. At gmail.com. It's kind of long, but I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I also forgot that you can follow me on my Instagram at Carsmatology, but I also did start a Instagram called In the Buff, The Naked Truth. So if you want to find me, follow me. You know, I'll probably post up some pictures about the episodes. But I really appreciate you. If you have made it to the end of this episode, hey, cheers, man, or woman, or chick, or whatever. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a freaking wonderful day. All right, later.